To the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 1 tonight, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Of course, as I said, we find a book here where Paul's not written rebuke for this church. We understand this church wasn't perfect. There is no perfect church, but in this place, they've had their problems. They had their difficulties. They went after Paul. They went after some believers and the people of the town. And the Bible even teaches us in Acts 17 that these were more noble in Berea than those in Thessalonica. They studied the Word of God. We know what the Bible's teaching us there in Acts 17, verse number 11. But we find a great church, this church at Thessalonica, and we find some wonderful things about it. And I believe that God has given us this book to find out certain things about us. And we can talk about the church here in chapter number 1. We can talk about the servant in chapter number 2, and then the believer in chapter number 3. There's just different things that we can see. But what a great church and what a great testimony this is. But as we look, I want us to look tonight, beginning in verse number 6. The Bible says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we love You and we thank You for loving us. We thank You for the time we have to open Thy Word in these next few moments we have together. I pray that You'll use it to stir our hearts. I pray that we'll have a greater understanding of what a New Testament church is and things that ought to be indicators of what we ought to be. And Lord, I pray that You'll strengthen us through Thy Word. Help us, Lord, to see the need to abide by these things and to encourage one another in the Lord and to be everything, Lord, in this community and in this city and this county that we need to be. Lord, not only here, but Lord, as we support missions around the world, Lord, may we see our responsibility and be faithful to it. And we'll thank You and we'll praise You, for it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. As we look tonight, we see several things, and I want to very quickly look at four or five things tonight about this church to help us to understand what kind of church we should be. When we look at the Bible, we find everything we need to know about how to live the Christian life. We find out how a church is supposed to behave. We find out the doctrines of the church, the beliefs of the church, and here we see certain behaviors of the church. And as we look through these few verses of Scripture tonight, I hope that God implants something in our hearts and in our souls that'll be something that we realize that this is what we're to always measure ourselves against. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, if something were to happen and people go and they try to find a church, they ought to find a church that fits this bill. They ought to find a church that's carrying out these works and doing these things. So may the Lord help us tonight. So as we think about what kind of church should we be, the first thing I want you to take note of is a church that believes and preaches salvation. A church that believes and preaches salvation. Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 6. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. We find that there was the gospel message. And this was a church that had an understanding of what salvation was all about. And they became followers of the Lord. So in this place, in this local assembly, there's no doubt that Paul, as he stood, I'm sure, founding this church and beginning this church, he began to preach and to teach salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a lot of persecution in the days of the early church for those people that's trying to preach and teach the truth of God's Word. You can go back to the book of Acts, chapter number 5. And if you'll remember there, the Sadducees were going after the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had put them in prison, and God had miraculously released them from prison and told them to go into the temple. And they went into the temple, and they began to preach there. The Sadducees and the rulers, they went the next morning, they sent some servants over to get these fellows, and they were going to bring them before them. When they got there, the prison doors were shut, the guards were standing outside, but there were no prisoners. And so they were quite amazed, you know? And so these religious leaders, they didn't want people to know about this because they thought it would cause an uproar. People would start saying, you see, their God is God. And so the servants went and they found them there in the temple. And they went over there and they said, did we not forbid you? Did we not tell you? You cannot preach and teach in the name of Jesus. You can't get up and talk about Him. You cannot tell others about Him. And I love what Acts chapter 5, verse 29 says. Peter stood and he looked at him and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. I want to tell you something, dear friends. If this church ever becomes something other than a gospel-preaching, gospel-believing church, then we might as well ride Ichabod over the door and go home. But if we're going to be the kind of church that God wants us to be, we have to be a church that will preach and teach salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's writing to the church at Rome, and he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. You say, preacher, why in the world would you stand and preach something like that? To a church like this, you go all across town, and you're going to find churches that used to be preaching churches just like this, and see what's going on there. But we better keep our guards up. We all want to grow. We want to see this church take off. We want to see it flourish. We want to see it filled up. There's no doubt about it. And a lot of churches are filling up, but they're doing it by watering down the truth of God's Word. Amen. We can't do that. May the Lord help us tonight. What kind of church should we be? We should be the kind of church that teaches and preaches salvation. And by the way, I believe that more and more, there's going to be some government hindrances if we're not careful. It's an amazing thing that in churches in California, they have classes where you can go in and study Islam, but you can't have a class and study the Bible. It's an amazing thing that they can carry a Quran in the hallways in some places in America, but they can't carry a King James Bible. So what's going on? Somewhere down the line, churches quit preaching and teaching the truth. I've studied somewhat of our early American history. If you know the story of our early American history, people came over here for religious freedom, but the government of England had a lot of people, and these churches would come over here, these congregational churches, and they decided they wanted to be state-run, sponsored by the state, and they were trying to make it to where you would have to join their church, and you couldn't be a part of any other church, just as the same way it was in England. And then Baptists came along and some Puritans came along and they believed in individual soul. These Baptists believed in individual soul liberty. And they stood against infant baptism. Hey, I want to tell you something. When somebody says they stood against infant baptism, the whole Baptist church ought to stand up and say, amen. Because I'll tell you, dear friends, the only reason we're here today and the only reason we are what we are as Americans is because Baptists took a stand against pedo-baptists. You say, what's the importance of all of that? I'll tell you what the importance is. They were trying to coerce people. They were trying to force things on people. And Baptists said that it has to be a choice. We don't baptize infants. As a matter of fact, it is not scriptural. It's against the things of God. It gives people a false sense of security. I was going to preach a little bit on that this morning in my other message. I'll get on that next time. But you understand what I'm saying? We have to be that kind of church. America, and its founding fathers, if you'll study the history, the true history. Now, by the way, our history books today have corrupted the truth of history. They have corrupted the truth of history. Because you want to know why? It's too Christian. That's exactly why. But you get into the real history of America, you're going to find out that America was a nation founded upon biblical principles. And the greatest influence in early America were Baptist people that took our sin. Now, at first, man, they went through great persecutions. I'm telling you, they were beaten and whipped. Think of Obadiah Holmes. Think about people like him. Think about Dr. John Clark. Man, what great men. And they stood against the majority. You know what they said? We ought to obey God rather than men. We look all around us. I want to grow. I want to see this church filled up. But not at the place of compromising the truth of God's Word. I believe the church at Thessalonica had an understanding of this. Not only were they a church that believed and preaches salvation, the gospel, they were also a missionary church. If we're going to be the kind of church we ought to be, we have to be a missionary church. The Bible says in verse number 7, so that you are in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, and not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. You know, the truth of the matter is this. From this church, the truth ought to be spread abroad. People all around us ought to know that there is a Savior in heaven, and they ought to know that Jesus Christ died for them. And you know, other churches should not have to come around to this community and tell people that. Shouldn't happen. Shouldn't have to happen. The sad thing is in a lot of churches that we're seeing as people have compromised this and they become so church growth oriented, they failed to be a missionary church. I'm so grateful for your commitments to missions, to faith promise, and I believe God's going to use that, and He's going to bless our church for it. And by the way, we're going to meet people in heaven that we helped to get there because we gave money to support these missionaries, these men and women that are going around the world to tell others about Jesus. But we see that from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God would spread abroad. In other words, people were hearing about this church at Thessalonica. They had a testimony. That testimony is that they believed the truth. They didn't have all the Bible. They didn't have everything. As a matter of fact, if you're going to study the Bible, you're going to find that this was one of Paul's earliest letters, if maybe not his earliest letter. Think about that. So we understand that these Thessalonians, you know, they didn't have all the Bible. We've got it all. They didn't even have all the revealed truth that we have. We'll have no excuse when we stand before the Lord of not sounding out the truth. We're going to stand before God with the truth that we reveal. May the Lord help us to see what kind of church we ought to be. I think that God will bless that kind of a church, and He'll use that kind of a church. A missionary church is not somebody that just supports missions, but a missionary church is a church that goes out, and the places we work, and the places we play, and the places we live, and the places we shop, they're going to hear about the Lord because we're a missionary church. You know what that means? That means we're handing out gospel tracts. That means we're talking to people about their need of the Lord. That means we're not ashamed to speak to others because the truth is being sounded out from us. Somebody says, well, I don't like that confrontational evangelism. If we don't start confronting people with their needs, dear friends, people are going to die and go to hell, and it's going to be blood on our hands. We have to be a missionary church. Aren't you glad that the Apostle Paul wasn't one that said, I don't believe in confrontational evangelism? Matter of fact, he'd find himself in places, he'd beg for places, for God to put him in places so that he could stand before kings. So he could stand before people and make his case. And his case would always include the gospel, the life-changing experience that God had done for him. A missionary church. Number three, we see that the kind of church we ought to be is a church with our faith in God and not in man. There in verse number 8, it says that every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. I'm afraid that a lot of churches are placing their faith in men. Or they're placing their faith in their denominations. They're placing their faith in a book written By the way, there's some great books that are written, that are out there about certain things. But there's only one book that matters. And we need to understand that. We need to put our faith in men. We don't need to go and say, well, this is what Dr. So-and-so said. We need to go find out what God said. Amen? We've got to understand tonight that a church that's built upon a man, that's built upon a preacher, that's built upon a group of men, is a church that's on sinking sand. But a church that's built on the Lord Jesus Christ is a church that's built on the rock. And our faith has to be in God and not in men. I think that there's a lot of men out there that think they're great church builders. But I've come to find out that the Bible says that there's only one church builder. And Jesus said, I will build my church. He didn't say, I'll build your church or you'll build my church. Jesus said, I will build my church. And we need to be busy doing His will and allowing Him to build His church. So a church that believes and preaches salvation, a missionary church, a church with our faith in God and not in man. We have such a pragmatic society, don't we? You know, it's see which way the wind's blowing and that's what we'll do. Now, you know, a lot of the churches were doing the 40 days and now that's kind of went a little bit out of style, so they're going to move to something else. And it'll go a little bit out of style, so they're going to move to something else. These books die. But there's one book that's alive. And it lives forever. And it's new every morning. We need to build up on that book. That book. Men may have great ideas. But if it's truly a great idea that's scriptural, it's going to come from the Bible. And that's the book we need to be building upon. The next thing we see is a church that is separated. Notice what the Bible says. For they themselves, in verse number 9, show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. This is something that's so needed in our churches today. A separated church is a serving church. We need to be separated unto the Lord. The Bible says they turn to God. That's what we need to be doing. There are too many Christians that are so worldly that you cannot tell a difference. Everybody that you work with, everybody that you live next door to, people that you shop around, when you go in, they ought to know that there's something different about you. They ought to see it in the things that you do, the way that you dress, the words that you use, the activities that you involve yourself in. They ought to know that there's something different about you. Why? Because you've turned to God away from the idols. You have turned to the true and the living God. There is something in your life. You have come out from among them and separated yourself from them. Now, people don't like to hear it anymore. Separation is a message from the past. Separation is in days gone by. That's for the 1900s. It's not for the 2000s. But if we're going to be the kind of church we ought to be, we're going to be a separated church. We're not going to have the junk of the world coming in, the music of the world, the dress of the world. We're not going to lower to the standards of the world if we're going to be what God wants us to be. We may not grow, we may not grow to be hundreds or thousands, but dear friends, if we're going to be what God wants to be, I don't care if we ever reach more than 100 or 150. If we have to throw the standards of God's word out the door in order to grow, then I say let's not grow. But I believe that if we'll do what God wants us to do, He will give the increase. There's going to be a day coming, and it's going to get worse and worse. As we look at all the things, as far as society is concerned, things are getting worse. I told you this morning, for us, things are getting better and better and brighter and brighter. But the world, to them, it's looking darker and darker. There's people from both sides that think the next president's going to be the Messiah. Well, I've got news. There's only one Messiah. And our faith needs to be in Him. We're going to have to separate ourselves. We're going to have to be biblical again. There was a time when Christians wouldn't do certain things, go certain places, nor dress certain ways. There was a time when Christians stood out in a crowd. I don't think we have to go and try to look as homely as we possibly can look. I don't think ladies have to wear potato sacks around. I think you can dress stylish and be fashionable. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think we ought to be worldly and immodest, men or women. We throw it all on the women about immodesty. That's simply because there's not much about men that are attractive. God just didn't make men attractive, you know. But it's not just about separation in the way we dress. It's our speech. It's our attitude towards others. It's how we present ourselves. We see things happening in the world. And I talk to people all the time. I told you about a lady that I was talking to over here one day. And she said she was a Christian. Said she was saved. She told me the name of the church that she went to. So that's great. Her car had broken down. What had happened is they had put two O-rings. They forgot to take the old O-ring off of her oil filter. And there was the one that was left on there. And the other one, when they put it up, and the oil pressure built up, and oil went everywhere. Had happened to me one day. You know, that's what I told her. I said, this is what happened, ma'am. I know what happened. She said, are you a mechanic? I said, uh-uh. Actually, I am a mechanic. I can't work on cars, but I'm a trained mechanic. But I'm not a car mechanic. I can't work on that, you know. I'm not getting underneath there and doing that. So anyway, so she called the people that just had done her oil change. And she started using some of the foulest language. And so she got off the phone. I said, so you say you're a Christian? Oh, yes. I'm like, you know? And by the way, it's not just the foul, vulgar language. It's the little slang words that we use sometimes. We ought to separate ourselves from that. Holy words, truthful words. Let's go back to speaking right. Let's go back to reining in that temper and yielding that to God. Let's go back to thinking before we speak instead of speaking before we think. And by the way, I'm a whole lot better at speaking before I think than thinking before I speak. I think I said that right. But I think you get the picture if you know what I'm talking about tonight. Separation, dear friends. We're to be different than the world. We're not to react the way the world reacts. I've been over visiting Brother Bob several times this week. And as I talked to him, I listened to what he had to say. And you can tell the difference between somebody that's lived for the Lord and somebody that's not. I've been to too many places, been to too many bedsides of people that didn't know the Lord, or Christians that they were saved but they weren't living for the Lord. And I want to tell you something, when it come down to the time of the end, they were fretting over their life. Brother Bob says, I'm just ready to go and be with the Lord. He said, I'm a little bit afraid because I just don't know how it's going to happen. But he said, I know God's going to give me dying grace. Isn't that something? There's a difference between living for the Lord and living for the world. Let's determine to do that. You know, let's determine. I've told this to people, and I don't know if I've ever said it here. You know, I think you ought to look at yourself in the mirror every day before you go out, and you ought to be sure everything's covered up the way it ought to be covered up, and you ought to look just exactly the way that a Christian ought to look. You ought to look like you would want to look if Jesus Christ were to walk into your office or into your workplace. You say, well, what about a mechanic or somebody that's greasy? Then I think you ought to be greasy when he shows up, and you ought to be proving that I'm earning my keep. You understand what I'm saying? We have to be separated. When he walks in, he ought to be hearing words come out of our mouth, nothing that we'd be ashamed of saying. Separated. When we go out with the girls or with the guys, we'd never put a drink of anything to our lips. I don't care what you think about it. There's no kind of drinking that's right. It's not social drink. It's not heavy drinking. None of it's right. We're separated from that. I don't want to preach on that tonight, so we better move on. What kind of church should we be? A church that believes and teaches salvation. A missionary church. A church with our faith in God and not in man. A church that's separated. But then finally tonight, a church that believes that Jesus is coming again. I'm that kind of church, aren't you? The Bible says in verse number 10, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which he delivered us, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Here is a church, maybe what you might call a model church, but a great church, and a church that was preaching the truth, a church that was sending out the word of God, a church that put their faith in God and not in man, a church that had separated themselves, but here was a church that was always looking for the return of the Lord. Hey, you go look. Paul was even encouraging them in this book, because it's here where Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you saw not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And it talks about all these things, and they believe Jesus was coming again. And tonight, we ought to believe Jesus is coming again. And by the way, if we do believe that he's coming again, we'll teach and preach the truth. We'll do all we can to get the gospel message around the world. We'll be sure that our faith is placed in him, and we'll be separated from the world unto God, and we'll be looking and longing for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what kind of church we should be. I read a little poem one time. It was a poem entitled, You Are This Church. It said, we are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds we do and the words we say. Men read what we write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is that gospel according to you? Tonight, what would the people we work with or people that we live next door to, what would be the gospel according to us, to them? Have you spoken to every neighbor about Jesus? Have you talked to people you work with at the right time, in the right way, about the Lord? Have you attempted to tell people about what God's done for you? Are you living the right kind of life in front of them so that when you do speak to them about the Lord, you'll have some influence? I think every one of us have had people like this. I had several bosses. I'm done. I had several bosses at the place I used to work. One of the most difficult bosses I worked for was a man that said he was saved, deacon in a church. So he was so good to me, but he was so, I don't know the word, non-compassionate to others. And I was sitting here thinking, you know, how are we ever going to win these people to the Lord? How are we ever going to talk to them about Jesus if you say that you're a Christian and you do these things? Then one of the greatest bosses I had as far as just liking him and treating everybody right was a man that was just vile in his lifestyle. And I thought, what a sad testimony. What a sad testimony. May the Lord help us. What is the church? You are the church. I'm the church. If this building were to burn down, God forbid that it would, East Live New Baptist Church would still exist. Because the church is not this building. You are the church. I am the church. Dear friends, we need to get serious about this. May God help us. Now, I want to ask you this question. Are you doing what you need to do to help this church be the right kind of church? Are you doing it? Am I doing it? Lord, help us. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. I ask you to meet with us now in this time of invitation. May we be obedient. I will thank you and praise you for what you do. Lord, would you help us? Help us, Lord, to commit to that which we need to commit to. And help us to carry on the work. Help us to be the right kind of church. Help us to love people. In spite of their sin, Lord, help us to realize you died on the cross for them. And help us to make a difference in their lives. Make a difference in this world, in this community, in the communities that we live. Lord, may Christ be seen through us. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Let's stand to our feet tonight. What page, Brother Chris?
534.
534.